This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Those plastic devils.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Credit cards, aren't they evil? A convenient, maybe even necessary evil, perhaps, but such a temptation. Here are the facts. 3 out of 5 credit card holders carry a balance each month. Those households have an average of $13,000 on those cards, and not all of that debt is from the stuff they bought. That's why the Senate is holding a hearing today on the credit card industry's practices. Hillary Wickay reports.
Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren says credit cards are often the anchor that sinks the middle-class family. She's one of several consumer advocates that will testify today that Congress needs to do more to regulate the credit card industry. She says, for starters, the average credit card agreement has gone from 1 page in 1980 to some that are more than 30 pages today.
There's no penalty in the marketplace for having the trickiest, trappiest credit card out there. If there's no real competition on safety, then credit card companies have a real interest in loading up fees, penalties, in order to maximize their profits.
Warren says most other consumer products, from toasters to cars, have a comprehensive set of safety regulations. The credit card industry will also be represented at the hearing by Capital One, JP Morgan Chase, and Barclaycard. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Big corporate profits drove Wall Street on Wednesday. The Dow put on 87 points to 12,621. The S&P 500 climbed 12 to 1440. That's its highest close since September of 2000. The NASDAQ gained 34 to 2466. Some of the big gainers included AT&T, Yahoo, and Sun Microsystems. Today, we'll get a profit report from Ford. Profit is really the wrong word. Ford's expected to reveal a record loss last year of something like $12 billion. In the State of the Union, President Bush said he wanted to mandate the use of certain gasoline alternatives, like ethanol, and force higher fuel economy standards for cars. I called up our economics correspondent Chris Farrell to get his thoughts on the Bush energy plan. In a nutshell, good intentions, but the wrong approach.
Do you really think that the government is in the best position to determine that ethanol is the right alternative fuel? What I would much rather see, what I would have really liked to have seen, now it would have been a moment, but if the president had said, you know what, I'm going to join the Pigou Club.
Come again? The Pigou Club?
The Pigou Club. Now, this was started by Greg Mankiw, and he was the former head of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Bush. He's an economist at Harvard University. Pigouvian taxes are taxes that you impose when there's a market failure. So the classic example are sin taxes, a tax on cigarettes, as a way of discouraging people from smoking. Well, he started the Pigou Club. A lot of economists had joined it. And all it says is, look, let's just raise the gas tax and then let the market decide. If Scott wants to drive a fuel-efficient car and you raise the gas tax, there's going to be a lot of fuel-efficient cars out there. If Chris wants to drive a gas guzzler, hey, guess what? There'll be gas guzzlers available. I'm just going to have to pay for it.
Wait, so Chris, you're telling me that mandating certain things like ethanol use is a bad thing, but imposing a gas tax is a good thing. What's the difference?
The only thing the government's doing is saying there are some really bad effects from our lack of energy independence and our dependence on foreign oil. If you impose a broad-based tax, so you raise the cost, and then you unleash the wisdom of the market. You unleash the entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley. You know, they're funding all kinds of new technologies. We don't know if it's ethanol, biomass. Let's just raise the price. It's really, what's the best way to encourage innovation? That's really the issue.
Okay, let's say you're right and that a gas tax is the way to go.
A little skepticism there, but okay. I'll take it.
A healthy skepticism. Now, just saying the word tax, if you're running for president or if you are president or, I mean, who's going to buy this?
You're absolutely right. What I would argue, if you package a gas tax, not only as part of energy security, but part of attacking global warming and leading toward a more sustainable environment, there are ways that you can manipulate this situation so that the word tax doesn't quite have the negative connotations, which you have rightly raised, and it's more like environmentally conscious, attacking global warming.
Okay, how's Chris, thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace Economics Correspondent.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com. And by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, for information protection you can depend on. More at fellows.com.
There's a big electronics show in Florida this week. This is quite different from the show they just had in Vegas. The gadgets on display are for people with disabilities. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
If you're searching for a Braille-based PDA or a speech-generating device, it's not like you can go to Best Buy to find the hottest gear. Instead, you'd come to the Assistive Technologies Conference in Orlando this week. It'll showcase products like the Tango from Blink Twice. Smaller than a laptop, it offers thousands of catchphrases to help disabled people communicate. Richard Ellenson created the Tango for his son Thomas, who uses this phrase a lot.
I'm not tired. I want a snack.
Ellenson says gadgets for disabled people have come a long way.
What we're trying to do is change the technology to reflect the abilities that are inside of the people who have disabilities.
The Assistive Technology Industry Association Conference expects 2,000 visitors before it wraps up this weekend. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
One reason China has attracted so many foreign companies, sweet, sweet tax breaks. Well, those might be going away. The Wall Street Journal says China's government is about to pull the plug on some of those tax incentives. Beijing thinks foreign companies want to be in China so bad, they don't need the breaks anymore. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Bill Marriott is chairman and CEO of the Hotel.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.